RNZ Pacific News, Maloni, I'm Selmanutev Amtsafei. Samoa's Ministry of Health is urging the community to be vigilant in the face of a dengue fever outbreak. 82 cases have been reported in the 2 weeks of April 14th. Tiana Hexton has more.
A massive clean-up campaign is underway to destroy potential mosquito breeding sites around homes. Schools, hospitals and other hotspots are being fumigated. The Health Ministry's Acting Director, Dr. Glenn Fatsubaito, says so far there have been no severe cases or deaths. He says with numbers expected to rise, the Ministry will release weekly online updates starting Friday. The public has been urged to cover up and use insect repellent. Five people died in the last dengue outbreak in Samoa.
Transparency International Papua New Guinea says the government has to let the public know about its plans for a gold refinery and mint. The scheme in the pipeline for several years is understood to offer a Singaporean company, with Australian senior executives sweeping controls over the gold produced in the country. Few details have been released, but it is understood the government would own a substantial slice of the company. Spokesperson for TIPNG, Peter Aitsi, says the government has got to keep the people informed. He says if there is a public good in the proposed National Gold Corporation Bill, then it should be an open process.
There should be broader consultation with the various stakeholders that will be impacted by such a bill. And so clearly that type of consultation has been absent. So it draws suspicion in terms of the intentions and actions of the government, in particular those that are driving it, that being the Prime Minister and I think the Finance Minister.
An iKiribati man wanting to avoid deportation from New Zealand has had limited access or success in his application to the Court of Appeal. The man has been in New Zealand on a residency visa since 2008, but the order for his deportation followed a conviction and imprisonment for sex offences more than 10 years ago. Alicia Foon reports.
The man had appealed rulings by the Immigration and Protection Tribunal, which had dismissed his deportation on humanitarian grounds. His application for refugee or protected person status was also declined by the tribunal, so he turned to the Court of Appeal. The court ruled the man has no grounds to appeal the tribunal's decision that he did not face a threat, either from climate change or the people seeking retribution. But it did grant leave for him to amend the grounds for appeal.
16 Cook Islanders are spending 1 month at sea sailing a traditional voyaging vessel to Hawaii for the Festival of Pacific Arts. Nine of the crew members come from the Outer Island Communities, or Paenua, after having undergone a traditional training program over the past year. This selection fulfills Master Navigator Paia Patai's goal to include young ones in the preservation of traditional waka knowledge. The crew depart next week for the festival, which runs from June 6th to 16th. In Aotearoa, police are increasing patrols at shopping malls across Auckland following a spate of robberies at jewellery stores. Melanie Earley reports.
A police investigation is underway to find out if a spate of ram raids and robberies throughout the region are connected. Detective Inspector Glenn Baldwin says police are patrolling malls as part of a new investigation dubbed Operation Dusk. He says staff are experiencing blatantly violent behaviour during the robberies. Detective Inspector Baldwin says police share the community's bleak view of the violence being used in some of the incidents. Arrests over the robberies are yet to be made.
Also in Aotearoa, an inquiry into the response to last year's catastrophic North Island storms has found the system failed in places and is not fit for purpose. The inquiry, chaired by former Governor-General Sir Jerry Matapare, released its report yesterday, finding the nation's emergency management system is broken. It says in some places last year, the system failed completely, leaving people unable to prepare for or respond to the disaster. The Emergency Management Minister says new legislation is urgently needed. Mark Mitchell says Cabinet has agreed to throw out the draft new emergency management law, which the inquiry found was insufficient, and introduce a new one this term.
We can't have a bill that goes halfway or is weak or is just sort of deals with stuff on the fringes. We need a substantive bill that is going to address the issues that have been highlighted in these reports that have been generated. When I say we need the time to get it right, yes, we do. But make no mistake, this is a priority and it's urgent.
Mark Mitchell says the current draft is so far away from what's needed that simply making amendments to it won't be enough. An Auckland resident whose home is unlivable after the Auckland anniversary floods wants the new law introduced urgently. Alicia Knowles says it must be this year. She says any new system needs to be nimble so changes can be made quickly. One of the inquiry's recommendations is to legislate iwi Māori's role in emergency planning and response. Ngati Kahong Unu Chair Baden Barber says it's vital iwi are formally included as the inquiry recognised that Māori stepped up during the disasters.
We do what we do, which is to manaaki and to hiaki, which is helping and assisting where needed. Not just Māori, Pākehā and those that were in need, you know, utilising our resources in terms of people, connections, networks and food and supplies.
Baden Barber says formally stipulating iwi Māori's role is important because it would come with resources to properly respond to disasters as well as a say in how that should be done. Four spears taken from Aboriginal people by the 18th century British explorer Captain James Cook on the day he arrived in Australia are being returned. They're the first artefacts collected by a European from any part of Australia. The BBC's Noor Nunji has more details.
The spears were taken from the villages of the Gweegal people living at Kami, the Aboriginal name for Botany Bay, in 1770 and given to Trinity College the following year. They've been held by Cambridge University's Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology since early in the 20th century. Trinity College made the decision to repatriate them after discussions between the museum and the La Perouse Aboriginal community, representatives of the Gweegal people and the broader Dharawal nation.
Direct descendants of the Gweegal people who crafted the spears more than 250 years ago were to be present at the ceremony in Trinity's Wren Library. In sports, Fijian Indoor women's coach Mosese Arauluni says his team cannot afford to give away penalties to the Waratahs in their Super W competition final on Sunday. Raoluni says the New South Wales franchise have proven to be consistent this year and they will be tough to beat.
The New South Wales, obviously, you know, they're very sharp in their attack and a very fit side. And like the Fiji, they like to run the ball. Their skill set has been outstanding this year. I've been watching a lot of their games and, you know, they really function well as a group. A big thing is for us, we have to get our set piece right and cut down our mistakes and penalties. Any opportunities you give New South Wales in this game is going to cost us.
The Fijian Indroa women meet the Waratahs in Brisbane on Sunday afternoon. A senior Papua New Guinea football official is calling for a full audit of FIFA funding given to the country's National Football Association. The national newspaper says LAIF football president Roy Kamen wants the investigation. Kamen says affiliated associations in PNG have not received any funding for developmental pathways for youths. PNG football received over $9 million US dollars from FIFA between 2016 and 2022. Second rower Kurt Capewell will miss the Warriors Anzac Day game against Gold Coast tomorrow after suffering a throat injury against the Dragons last weekend. He's replaced in the starting side by Jacob Laban. Dylan Walker returns from an ankle injury and is on the bench, alongside Zion Mayu'u, who makes his NRL debut. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.